She had him raised and she adopted Moses. And he became her son, which made him a prince there in Egypt. But as time went on and Moses began to grow up, what happened was there was a time there in Egypt where he began to understand, he began to know, but he seen a fellow Hebrew. And he was getting beaten by an Egyptian. And he seen what was taking place, and he went over there, and of course, he took the Hebrew side. And it goes on to say that when he took the Hebrew side, that he killed the Egyptian. And then what he did was he buried the body and he hid the body. I mean, he wasn't trying to leave no evidence. He hid the body and he buried him. But what ended up happening was Moses began to have a sense of conviction. And he began to feel afraid, and he said, what I done must be known. And sure enough, Pharaoh found out what happened. And Pharaoh went after Moses, and he tried to kill Moses. Then this is when Moses fled to Midian. Now this is where we are in our text, and as we read in this portion of scripture, that Moses is in the wilderness. He ran away from Egypt, even though God had raised him and called him to be the deliverer. Since birth, he was born to set the people free. Taking the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage and slavery. But yet Moses was running. But yet Moses was hiding from the call of God upon his life. And in this portion of scripture, we see that Moses, he had an encounter with God. He had an encounter with God, a moment with the Lord, a moment that brought a change of course in his life.
Amen.
It was a moment that caused a turning point in his life, a moment that ignited a movement. It was the encounter with God through the burning bush.
That's right. Amen.
The Lord came to Moses and said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries. Do you hear the cries of your city? I said, do you hear the cries of your city? I've heard the cries. I'm concerned about their suffering. The cry of the Israelites has reached me. I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. It was in this moment that God was able to speak into Moses' life. He was reminding Moses of his purpose and his calling. And where I'm getting at here tonight is that God is trying to remind some of us. I said God is trying to remind some of us that he's been trying to get your attention, that he's been calling your name. God's been wanting to have a moment with you and I. Been wanting to have a moment with you and I. Because a lot takes place in the moments that we have with God. It's in the moments where God begins to reveal something to you and I. When we're there in prayer, we're down on our knees and we're crying out to God. We're having a moment with God. It's in those moments that God reveals something to you and I. It's in those moments where God begins to reveal your family. Where God begins to reveal your children, your kids. He begins to reveal your husband, your wife. God begins to reveal something to you and I. Feel that job that you've been seeking. Maybe the job you got ain't so good right now. But God's beginning to reveal that job to you. He says, let go of this job because I got something better for you. Something a better hour, something a better pay rate. I got that job for you, but it's going to be found in that moment with God. And it's in that moment God's going to reveal that healing for your life. That healing you've been seeking for, not someone that you've been praying for, that sick in body. It's in that moment with God, God's going to reveal that healing. It's in those moments with God. It's in those moments with God, God begins to reveal your calling. Now he begins to reveal your purpose, your identity. It's found in those moments with God. It's in that moment with God that God reveals what he has for your life.
Right, amen.
Are you hearing me?
Amen.
See, too many times, we look everywhere.
You've
been looking, you've been seeking, you've been asking. But it's simple, man. It's found in these altars. I said it's found in these altars. It's found there in the prayer closet. It's found there, man. You on your knees crying out to God, praying to God, man, seeking God. It's found those moments with God. It's not found in that job you're putting all your hours into. Don't give up work hours. Don't give up worship hours for work hours. I said don't give up worship. house.
Come on.
It's not found in that relationship.
Come on now,
your pastor already told you not to talk to her, not to talk to him. It's not found in that relationship. A lot of times we look for love in all the wrong places. It's not found in that drug. It's not found in that bottle. It's not found in these things. But it's only found in the presence of God. I said it's only found in the presence of God. It's only found in that moment with the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. We must value these moments.
Yeah.
We must value these moments that we have with God. We should never take them for granted.
Right.
You know that there are other countries, man, they can't worship and see God.
Come on.
Man, they would get persecuted if they were caught worshiping God and praising God and worshiping and praying unto God. Man, they would be persecuted.
But you and I,
we have the liberty, the freedom to worship God.
Yes.
A lot of times we take it for granted.
Oh my, oh my.
But in these moments, man, we should value these moments.
Yes. Right, amen. Yes.
All he's asking for is to spend some time with him.
Right.
All he's asking is that you and I, we would spend some time with him.
That's right, amen.
See, this is why he got upset when he was with the disciples there in the garden, and they went to go pray. It was Peter, John, and James. And Jesus told them to keep watch and pray.
Yeah.
But for some reason, every time Jesus came back, he found them asleep.
He said,
keep watch and pray. He said, keep watching, pray. But yet every time Jesus came back, he found them asleep.
My God.
And Jesus, man, he told Peter, he said, are you asleep?
My.
Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? And pray so that you will not fall to temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak?
Come on. Yeah. Yeah.
1 hour you couldn't pray?
Come on now.
This was a time that the disciples, they didn't value this moment with God.
Yeah.
He said, man, spend some time with me.
Yes.
Just 1 hour, and I spend some time. Can you imagine, man, being able to pray with Jesus?
Come on.
Can you just imagine just being there, man? And, man, Jesus, right there praying.
Yeah.
Having a prayer circle with Jesus.
Yes.
And this was a time, man, disciples, they didn't value this moment.
Wow. Come on now.
We should never take these moments for granted.
Right,
you know why? Because after this time, this is when Jesus was betrayed.
Yeah.
Then he was persecuted. So, man, that was probably the last time they'll have a moment like that with Jesus.
Wow.
They took it for granted.
Yeah.
But see, Jesus knew what was happening.
Mm, my God.
Jesus knew what was yet to be done. That's why he said, spend some time with me.
Come on.
Yeah.
Said, just an hour, spend some time, because you don't know, but I know.
Come on.
Spend some time, man. Don't take these moments. Man, don't take them lightly.
Yeah.
I'm going to be here, man. I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And he knew this, but disciples didn't. And they took it for granted.
Yes,
they didn't value their moment with God. They didn't value the moments that they had with Jesus.
Yes.
This was a valuable moment.
Yeah.
We must value our moments with God.
That's right.
I said we must value our moments with God.
Amen.
Now, you know what? I thank God that our founder, he valued his moments with the Lord.
Amen.
I thank God, our founder, man, he valued his moments with God. Because there was a time that he was going through something. He was dealing with something.
Preach.
There was a time now where he was down and out. He was discouraged. Why? Because statistics were against him.
Yeah.
Everyone was against him. The people were against him. They said, there's no way you can start a ministry with gang members and drug addicts.
Come on, that's right.
There's no way you can start a church with these type of individuals.
Yeah.
There's a time where, I mean, he began to feel discouraged. But I thank God that he was able to find Jesus, that he valued those moments with God, that he didn't turn the other way, and he didn't throw in the towel, but he says, I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to seek God, and I'm going to have a moment with the Lord. And in that moment, he received two promises, Isaiah 45:2-3, and Isaiah 54:2-3, and today we stand on those promises. Not today, we are going 50 plus years strong. We are the biggest movement.
We are the biggest movement
in the world today. And it was a simple moment our founder had that ignited such a movement.
Come on.
A movement of reaching treasures out of darkness.
A movement
of reaching every inner city in this world.
Yes.
And it started with a moment.
Come on.
I said, man, value your moments with God.
That's right.
It's not a cliche. It's not something we just say, oh, man, pray for it, right? I think that's something we always say, pray for it.
Yes.
Come on now, pray for it.
Yeah.
Come on now, don't tap out, tap in. Get a hold of God, man. Take it to God. Man, you get on your knees and you cry out to God. We must value these moments that we have with God. It was once said, you'll never know the value of a moment until it becomes just a memory. In other words, that memory is a past moment that we didn't value. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just become a memory. I don't want to just become a memory of what God could have done in my life, a memory of what God should have done in my life, a memory of what God would have done in my life. No, I want what God has for my life now. You should want that here tonight. You should want what God has for your life now. And whatever He has for your life, man, you should pray and seek God and say, God, let it ignite something big. Let it ignite a movement within my life, within my family, within my finances, within my church, within my city. Come on now, let your moment ignite a movement. Look at someone to remind them, let your moment ignite a movement. Real quick, I'm going to point out some similarities and principles that we can learn from this moment that Moses had with God. Number one, his moment wasn't convenient, but it was necessary. As I shared with you that during this time, when Moses, he fled into the wilderness, I didn't mention how long he was actually there for. See, when Moses was there in the wilderness, he was there for 40 years. I mean, a lot can happen in 40 years.
Amen.
And within that 40 years, he ended up getting a rib. And he got married. Come on now, embrace that wilderness. Embrace that process. You might just walk out with a rib. And it was in that wilderness, man, he got a rib. And he got married and he had some kids. He started a new career as a shepherd. Life was looking good for Moses at this time. He even said that God came to Moses while he was working and tending the sheep. He was right there providing for his family. He was living comfortable. He was away from all the drama.
In
the wilderness, right? That's why some of us would love to go camping. We like to go out to the wilderness. We get away from all the drama. Right? We get away from baby mama. We get away from baby daddy. Right? We get away from all the drama. That's why we love just to go out, right? He was out there. He was enjoying life. He was right there tending the sheep. He was working for providing for his family. Life was looking good for Moses.
Come on.
And it reminds me of you and I. It reminds me of you and I how we could be living our lives. We're living our lives, man. We got a good job, man. We're here, man. We're working. We got a good job. We come to church, right? We're just a Sunday morning goer. We're maybe going to school, right? Pastor, I'm going to go to school. Come on. Our freshman, the training center, came back on fire. But you want to call that fire into a job. You want to call that fire into school. Right, starting your career, starting, right? Your schooling, everything's looking good. Everything, right? You have your responsibilities. Reminds me of you and I. I said, life looking good. Life looking good. I'm here to let you know, the call of God, it's not going to come at a convenient time for you. Like I said, you might be there. You might be doing your thing. You're minding your own business. But I'm here to let you know, the corner of your eye, you might see something strange. Or something might catch your attention. You're going to see something burning. You're going to go over there and see, what is this strange sight? What is this? You're going to come to church and think nothing of it. But God is calling you to these altars. God has been calling you. You might be there in the home. I'm here to let you know that God has where He wants you. God has you where He wants you. Because just by being at home, you're going to encounter God through the Word of God. It's a little too much?
Nah, you good.
What it's like to be in Texas, man. Come on now, God's been speaking. Come on now, God's been calling. And say, He might be calling you to His altars, man. God's calling you, man, to get involved. God's calling you, man, to be here. Man, God,
Yes, amen. Yeah.
Because there might be a time where you're going to encounter that burning bush. It's in these altars you're going to encounter God. Right? He's been trying to get your attention. And God has been speaking and tugging at our hearts. He's been calling our names. Like Moses, like I said, he was right there just minding his own business. But man, from the corner of his eye, he sees something strange. He's seen a burning bush. He went over and God began to call him. That might be some of us here tonight. Like I said, we might just be minding our own business. And Pastor, right, what do you need me to do? And right, we're just workers in the church, but right, we need leaders in the church.
Hey, hey, come on.
We need just workers, we need leaders in the church.
Hey.
Like I said, there might be some sacrifice, or there might be some faith activated within you. Or man, God is calling you. God is reminding you. God says, man, don't forget. They're in the training center. Don't forget when I spoke to you in the home. They're in church, and that moment you had with me where I called you to be a pastor. I called you to run the home, to be a home director. I called you to be a gang leader. I called you not to take a city, but run a nation with your name on it. God is calling you and I. God might be calling you to go to the NTC, to the UTC. There's a fire going on, man. Jump on board. You got a lot of alumni here. You feel that God's speaking to go to the UTC. Man, go to the UTC. Jump on board. Fighting against God. Go to the UTC and God is calling you to the UTC.
Yeah.
God is calling some people here tonight. God is calling you.
Come on.
I know how it is in the church.
Come on.
You might just come to church, you just hear you're once involved. I know how that is. Ooh. You're involved, you're on fire, you're right here, locking arms with your pastor.
Wow.
Something happened.
Come on.
Come on. Right? You might have got a little hurt.
Come on.
Just know in ministry, man, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how we learn to build alligator skin.
Come on.
We learn how to take a rebuke. We learn how to go through something.
Come on.
When our house breaking down, man, we know how to go through it.
Amen.
You might be here tonight, just here. I'm here to show, man, God might be calling to get back in the church.
Come on, man.
God is calling, man, to get plugged in and get involved again.
Come on,
right there, there's a difference from showing up to church and joining up with the church. God is calling you, you and I, to join up with the church. It's more than just showing up to the church. Imagine joining with the church.
Yeah.
Right, getting involved and taking your place. To take our place in the church so we can make an impact in our city. God is calling you.
Amen.
See, the call of God didn't come at a convenient time for Moses, but it was necessary. It was necessary because through this moment, it caused a movement of setting the people free from slavery. Church, it's our time to do what is necessary. I said, it's our time to do what is necessary. Your family and friends need you. Your pastors and leaders, they need you. There's a need in the church. I said, there's a need in the church. There's a generation that is dying. There's a city and a nation with their name on it. We must do what is necessary to see this city delivered. We must do what is necessary to see this vision come to pass. To see this vision come out, if you don't see it, then I question your vision. If you don't see the need in your city, if you don't see the need in your church, I question your vision. I question, man, when was the last time you had a moment with God? When we have those moments with God, it builds an urgency within us. And like I said, that spiritual callousness begins to fall from the heart. And our hearts become more by flesh, more loving, more tending. Man, God's able to mold that heart. That's how we begin to feel that love and compassion, that desire for souls again. Number two, his moment confronted fear. His moment confronted fear. In our text, when Moses confronted the burning bush, and when he realized it was God, it said that Moses hid his face. He hid his face because he was afraid to look at the Lord. See, when God called Moses, Moses was afraid. Fear began to grip Moses. He began to feel inadequate. He began to feel a sense of doubt. That's why he started coming up with a bunch of excuses. He started coming up with excuses. He said, God, there's no way it could be me. I can't even speak right. I have a stuttering problem. Yeah. Man, the people, man, they won't listen to me. They won't even follow me. He began to come up with excuses. Why? Because fear began to grip Moses. And he started to get scared. And what we have to understand, and it happens to all of us, when we confront the call of God, fear will confront us.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now.
When we confront the call of God, fear will confront us.
Yeah.
That's why we have a fear of stepping out.
Yeah.
Amen.
A fear of stepping out, a fear of not being in a church and not being a leader in the church. Having a fear, man, of failure. Having a fear of preaching when your pastor asks you to preach. All it was a 5 minute, right? You're all scared. Why? Because fear begins to grip you. Dealing with fear, feeling inadequate. Thinking to ourselves, there's no way that I can do this.
Come on.
Have you ever been there?
Come on. Amen.
How many have ever been there?
Amen.
I've been there plenty of times. There's no way, God.
Yeah.
I remember Pastor Ryan, he called me. I knew what that phone call was. I was on my lunch.
Hello.
And I knew that there was a need for a regional to rise up and to take the place for our new region that we had established. Amen. And they were telling me, hey, man, your name's going in the hat. Pastor Philip always telling me, I threw your name in the hat, bro. And I was like, oh, man. So, I didn't hear that. And on my lunch, man, Pastor Ryan called me. And I knew what it was.
Wow.
I ignored his phone call. Why? Because I'm beginning to get afraid. I'm beginning to get a sense of fear. Man, there's no way I could be a regional. There's no way I could do this.
Oh,
I don't know how fear is with me.
Oh, my.
Now I'm beginning to think, I'm beginning to pray and say, you know what, God? If you had called me to this, then God, you're going to get me through this.
Yes,
if you called me to it, I know you're going to get me through it.
Come on.
And I called him back and I said, what's up, Pastor Ryan? It says your name came up. It says your name came up to be the regional.
Come on.
I say, amen, Pastor, whatever you want to do. But it happens to a lot of us. It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
The time now where fear begins to grip us.
Yeah.
And the call of God, we're right there. We answer the call of God and we say, my God, whatever you want to do, be careful what you say.
Come on.
Yeah. Whatever you want to do, there's something positive to hold on to. We can't allow fear to grip us.
Yeah.
Fear is probably the best strategy the enemy uses on us.
Oh my, come on.
On God's people, on this generation, is fear.
Yeah.
That's his best strategy. But man, that's why God's word says, don't be ignorant of his devices.
Yeah.
Don't be ignorant of his strategies.
Woo.
Man, but don't be ignorant of his schemes, man, but to be aware
and
to know what the enemy is doing.
Right.
We must be aware of what the enemy is doing. And he might bring fear to you and I. Like I said, God is calling you.
Yeah.
And you can't allow yourself to think that, man, I can't be a leader in this church.
Come on.
When my pastor asked me to open a life group, I can't be a life group leader.
Come on.
When your pastor says, man, I want you to run the home and open up a women's, man, I can't do it.
Come on.
Your pastor's telling you, man, to take your place in the church. There's no way I can take my place. Man, I can't bring nothing to the table. I can't preach the way they preach. I can't sing the way they sing. I can't even play an instrument. There's no way I could do this. I'm not called for this. I mean, a lot of times we get like that.
Yeah.
We get like that, but I'm here to let you know, man, we need to stop playing the victim when God has called us to be the victor. I said we need to stop playing the victim when God has called us to be the victor. And God has called you and I. God already called and disqualified. There's nothing to fear. His word says to not be afraid, for the spirit I have given you is not a spirit of fear, and to be afraid, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. The word of God says that you and I have power, that you and I have power, that we are more than conquerors, that greater is he in me than he is in the world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Man, no, we are not the tail, but we are the head. Man, these are promises that we stand upon. This is why we get in our word and we begin to read these scriptures, and now we take heart to them. We gotta stay in our word. It's more than just praying. Prayer is good. I said prayer is good. Prayer is gonna get you going. Prayer is gonna give you, man, that stamina. You're gonna keep going. But I'm here to let you know the word of God's gonna give you stability. The word of God's gonna give you stability. So you're gonna be praying, you're gonna have a lot of stamina, but we don't know how to take a hit. in our rock, the stability in our foundation. So when the time comes and you do get hit, because how many know we fight a good fight?
Yeah.
I said we fight a good fight.
Yeah.
It's not a fight that is easy, not that we're just going to win, but it's not a fight that we're going to lose. But I'm here to let you know we're going to go 12 rounds. It's going to be a good fight. So I'm here to let you know there's going to be a split decision, but that decision was already won on the cross. So God died on the cross and he died for you and I. We already won. We don't fight for victory, we fight from it. It's a good fight.
Yes.
You better have some stability in your legs. Because the time's going to come, you're going to get hit.
Yeah.
Time's going to come, you're going to get, you probably be getting hit right now.
Woo.
You came in dragging yourself.
Oh.
I'm here to let you know when you stay in prayer, you stay in your word, man.
Yeah.
It builds stamina in you. It builds a stability in your walk with God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to stay in our word.
Amen.
That's right.
Moses' moment was confronted by fear, but it was faith that overcame. I said it was faith that overcame.
Yeah, yeah.
Since birth, Moses' life was characterized by faith. Let faith overcome your fears.
Yeah.
Let faith overcome your fears.
Amen.
Maybe the worship team can make their way. Coming to my last point. We getting a little something here?
Amen.
Amen.
I feel comfortable here.
Amen.
Come on, I like it here.
Yeah.
It reminds me of my church.
Yeah.
It reminds me of my church.
Yeah.
Young, striving church, man. Third wave church.
Come on.
Yes.
Just know, man, this third wave is for you.
Yeah. Yes.
I gotta clean this up real quick. Just know that this third wave is for you.
Yeah.
It's not an age thing.
Come on.
Right.
It's not an age thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a people thing, but it's a movement.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity.
Yeah.
It's a time now where you jump on board. He's like, I'm gonna be a part of this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be a part of this.
Yes.
Can you imagine if your pastors didn't take the opportunity from the last wave?
Mom.
We wouldn't be here tonight.
Oh,
you wouldn't have your family.
Mom.
And you wouldn't have your kids. You wouldn't have what you have right now.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Your life wouldn't be restored.
Yeah.
It was because, man, your pastor, he jumped on board on that opportunity, that wave.
Yeah, yeah,
that's why we are here.
Amen.
That's why this church is established.
Right.
I'm here to let you know there's a third wave.
Yeah, yeah.
This is your opportunity. This is your time to jump on board,
yeah,
man,
yeah,
to be a part of what God is doing through our ministry.
Amen.
Lastly, and I love this point.
Uh-oh.
How many know God, he's very intentional.
Amen.
How many know God's personal?
Right, yeah.
He's very personal than to give us all a cookie cutter promise.
Oh, come on now.
He's more personal, intentional, man, to give us all the same calling and what he has for our life. How many know he's very unique?
Yeah.
All right.
And his last point, right, is God had his moment prepared.
Oh, my God.
God had Moses' moment prepared.
Yeah.
It was already set up. He was just waiting for the right time.
Yeah.
It was a moment that he knew this was going to be the time. This is the moment that he had prepared for Moses. See, in the beginning of our passage, it talks about how Moses was tending a flock of sheep. And it's interesting because, like I shared earlier, that in this portion of scripture, it shows Moses being a shepherd. But before he was a shepherd, he was a prince.
Come on.
See, Moses was the famous son of an Egyptian princess in Egypt.
Right.
Meaning as a prince, he had everything done for him.
Wow.
But as a shepherd, he had to learn to do everything for himself.
Right.
It was a time of preparation. It was a time of preparation. It was a time of change. We know we need change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a time of change because God knew that through this moment, a movement was going to be ignited. And that Moses had to be prepared. He had to be ready. How many know God's not going to give us what we can't handle?
Yeah.
So God knew that this moment was yet to come. And that a movement was yet to happen. And it was there in the wilderness. where Moses learned how to be a shepherd. Where he developed a shepherd's heart. Where he learned how to guide the sheep. And he learned how to tend the flock. It was preparation that God was doing, because soon Moses was not going to be guiding sheep, but he was going to be guiding God's people. I said soon Moses wasn't going to be guiding sheep anymore, but he was going to be guiding God's people. Leading God's people, a moment prepared for preparation. God had to prepare Moses. He had to make some changes in his life. The same way, man, God is going to have to make some changes in our life. Like I said, he's more personal than that. He has something special for you and I. Don't feel that you don't have a calling. Don't feel that you don't have a purpose. You have a calling.
Yeah.
You have a purpose.
Yeah.
I'm here to let you know, man, there's room at the table.
Yeah.
I said there's room at the table.
Yeah.
God is calling you. But God needs to change some things in your life.
Amen.
The first must be changed in our life. God wants to take us through the wilderness a little bit. He wants to let us go through that valley, so that preparation and change can take place. Because he wants to change some things in our life. He wants to change our mentality. He wants to change our heart. He wants to deal with our character. He wants to change some ways. We got some ways. There's some issues, inner issues and flaws that, man, God needs to come in and deal with. Because we can look good in front of our pastors. We can hide it behind our pastor's back. But just know, what you hide behind your pastor's back, you do in front of God's eyes. So just know that if you're going through something, just know God's going to take you through the wilderness. God's going to have you go through the valley just for a little bit. It's because God is preparing something in your life. God is preparing you for your calling and what he has called you to do. God will not launch us into our calling if we don't have the character to back it up.
Come on now.
You might have all the gifts in the world. You might be very talented. But I'm here to let you know that your talents will get you there, but your character that's going to keep you there.
Come on.
Amen. You gotta let God deal with you.
Amen.
Every day I'm asking God, deal with me. Because every one day I'm gonna take the city. And when I get there, I want my character to keep me there. But I don't wanna fall. I don't wanna fall down on my face and let my people down. But God, I know you call me, and I wanna be ready for what you call me to do. God is preparing some people here tonight.
Amen.
We can please stand. God had this moment prepared for Moses. A moment prepared for preparation. Because it was through this moment that God ignited the movement.
Amen.
I love what our founder said. This was deep. I held on to this. Our founder, he once said, God is preparing an end time people for an end time harvest.
Wow.
Time's running out.
Yeah.
I'm here to let you know, time is not on our side.
Right.
The time is now to take your place. I said there's something special happening within this church. There's something special happening within this church. And we're not going to settle for here.
That's right.
I said we're not going to settle for here. There's so much that needs to be done. There's still so much work that needs to be done. Your pastors, man, they need you. They need people to rise up, man, to take their place, to lock arms with their pastors. And say, Pastor, I got my back. Whatever you need to do, whatever you need to do, I'm there, Pastor. Just know that I'm there, man, to back you up, to help build this church, to help take this city. So much work that needs to be done. So much that God's still doing in your life. So many promises that you're standing upon right now.
Amen.
Promises that he's given you, man. Calling that he has given you. Man, you embrace that.
Amen.
You personalize that.
Amen.
But just know, in time, just know in his seasons, he's preparing you for what he has called you to do.
Amen.
But you know it's found? It's found in these moments with God.
Yes.
Moments and movements.
Yes.
Allow, man, your moments with God to ignite a movement.
Yes.
Within your city.
Amen.
Within your church.
Amen.
Within your life.
Amen.
What's found in these moments with God. Right there, we're going to lift your hands. We're going to have a moment with God.
Amen.
I said, this is your time to have a moment with God. This is your time, man, to see God. This is your time, man, to go after God. Like I said, I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know what you're dealing with. I came all the way from California. You don't even know me. I'm here to let you know this word was all preparation for these altars. That was a good word. Yeah, you hear it, right? It's all preparation for these altars. I said, all preparation for these altars. A movement take place.
Yeah.
If you want to see a movement ignited and reach down, grab pain, reverse, we have I feel like we gotta really value this moment. And this moment that you're having with God, not value it. When you come to the house of God, don't let things be routine. Don't just get caught up in routine things and we know what's next. More than ever, we need to be a generation, a church that knows how to tap in the presence of God. A generation that, man, our dependency is on the Lord, man, when we bask in His presence. These times that matter, we value them and just pray and we get a hold of God and God's speaking. Never want to cut nothing like that short. So right now we're just going to get into a time of prayer. I think that, is that okay?
Amen.
Can we just get a time of prayer, man? Just begin to pray. Man, begin to pray, man. Fall down on your knees, man. Pray. We all got something to pray for. Man, pray. Begin to seek God. So as they begin to worship, I want you to begin to just value this moment with God. Begin to pray. Begin to seek God. Man, begin to get a hold of God. Man, say, God, I've been going through some things. I've been going through some situations that no one knows about. But God, this is me and you. This is the time, God.
Find someone, pray with them. Hallelujah. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to make noise. If you're a couple, you want to pray with each other. Find your wife, your spouse. Pray with each other.
This is how. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded. not done.
Amen.
The moment's not done.
Amen.
The moment's not done.
Amen. Come on now.
The song says this is how we fight our battles.
Yes. Yeah.
It doesn't say when we fight our battles.
Amen.
That means it's not just for the here and now.
Come on.
But this is how we fight our battles.
Yeah. That's good.
So you just don't fight it when you come to church. But you fight it every morning when you wake up to pray. Every time you're going through it. You got to remember this. This is how you fight. This is how you ward off the enemy. In the presence of God. Worshiping God. Seeking His face. Having moments with God. Having moments with God. Let those moments, as Pastor said, turn into a movement. I want Pastor Madden to do one thing for us. I want him to come up, back up here, and we want to pray for all those, for that third wave. But we want to pray for, I want him to pray for all the UTC alumni. I know he's a graduate of the UTC, and we have quite a few UTC alumni. And if there's one thing that I know in my years of ministering, pastoring, being in the ministry of Richard Adams, is that the UTC is a very effective ministry. But it's also a ministry that is a frontline ministry. And the enemy likes to attack those students, amen, that come back from the UTC. And, you know, it's always prayer that puts a hedge of protection around that. And so I want to ask all those that have been in the UTC, I'm going to ask for those that have, if you're here, to go back to your seats, but and don't leave yet, amen, because we want to do something special. But I'm going to call all the UTC graduates, amen, or the UTC, that if you've been to the UTC, I want you to come up. If you've been to the UTC, amen, doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been to go to the UTC, amen. I want him to pray, amen. I want him to pray, amen, for these UTC alumni, amen, praise the Lord. And just to pray, amen, to pray. And then also, amen, also, after the service, if you don't mind, maybe sharing with them a little bit in the green room, amen. But if you want to share a little bit something first here, that I want you to pray for them, amen. Do you mind doing that for us?
Amen. As you guys see, this is your alumni.
Amen.
This is a lot of alumni right here.
Amen. Amen.
Mary, let's know that church is not to die just to get one in our church.
Come on now.
You guys got a good handful here.
Amen.
I say you can sense God is doing something special.
Amen.
And I'm here to let you know, just because you're not standing up here, that doesn't mean that you're not special. No, you're special.
Amen. Hallelujah.
There's always room at the table for you and I, man, to lock arms with our pastor, man, to this work that needs to be done within the church. But the alumni, man, that. They have the opportunity to go and to get trained. And like Archie, we got like almost 30 alumni. We believe in UTC.
Amen.
We believe in UTC. You see something, a fire being stirred right here, a spark. They said, jump on board, my God is calling to the UTC, go.
Amen.
And for those that went, keep that fire.
Amen.
You ain't got to tell me how it is, I know how it is. Amen. I know the struggles that we go through. I know the battles that we face. Man, you're a special breed. Man, there's something that man, the UTC stirs up within our hearts. And you have to hold on to that. Whatever man, God did in your life there to UTC, you hold on to that.
That's right.
Like I said, those moments with God, those times you're praying, you're seeking God, times when you're actually fasting. Come on.
Well.
Man, you don't forget those moments, man. You carry those and you know that, man, you came back home. Man, to lock arms with your pastors. Even when it gets weird and it gets tough, you feel like, man, I can't do this anymore. I'm here to let you know, man. You went to the UTC for a reason. You were in that season for a reason. I'm like, come back, man, to take your city, man, to build your church and to lock arms with your pastor. Amen. But we're going to go in and pray, church. We just stretch our hands forward. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, come before you, God. We thank you, Lord, for this time, God. Man, coming together, Lord. Having a time with you, Lord. Lord, I just pray, God, right now for this group of individuals here, God, the UTC alumni, Lord. I pray that whatever you're doing within their lives, God, Lord, what you started, Lord, that you continue to complete it, God, that you continue to move within their hearts, God, Lord, that you grab hold of their hearts, God. Father, you have called this generation, God, you have called these individuals, Lord, to be here, God, to take their city, God, God, to make an impact in their church, Lord. I pray for a fresh revival, Lord, to take place. I pray for a fresh fire to fall upon them, Lord, that your anointing, your spirit continue to flow within them, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you give them the strength to endure, God, to continue to pursue the calling that you have upon their life, God. Your word says that you are our strong tower that we can lean on, Lord. And I pray right now, God, for strength, for power, your anointing, your spirit to fall upon these individuals here, God, the UTC alumni, Lord. If they strayed away, God, they looked away, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you get them back on course, God. Get them back on track, Lord, on your right path of righteousness, God. I pray for the Holy Spirit to fall upon them like never before, God. Lord, to take this city and to build this church, Lord. I pray you continue to have your way, guard them, protect them, God. Count your angels around them, Lord. I pray for your covering to be upon them. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Come on, give him some praise. Let him help you out. Amen. Come on now. Come on tonight with a powerful, powerful word here tonight. Amen. Amen. To take advantage, amen, of our moment with God. Amen. I want to call an usher up here tonight. Amen. I want to call an usher up here tonight. And I believe that when we have those moments with God, amen, when we have a powerful moment like that, we're stirred. Come on, somebody. Yeah. We're stirred, amen, to sow a seed. Come on, somebody. How many know that we're grateful? Come on. Come on. It's victory. I'll reach here tonight. Come on. You guys feel excited? Did God speak to you here tonight? Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. So when a word is spoken like that to us, man, we want to sow a seed, amen, and we want to bless the man of God that came out here. Come on. He came out here 1,500 miles so that God would deposit a word into our lives here tonight, amen, and we just want to bless him here tonight. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says that those that preach and teach the word are worthy of double honor. Come on, somebody. And that they earn their wages. Come on, somebody. How many know that VOGP wants to be a blessing here tonight? Amen. We thank you, Pastor, for coming out, amen, and here tonight I challenge you to pull out something special, amen. Pull us something special out here tonight, and let's be a blessing, amen, to Pastor Manny and his ministry and what he's doing, amen. Hallelujah. And as we go ahead and we lift our offering up here unto the Lord, amen, and we pray, amen. Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, for the word that was deposited into our hearts here tonight, Lord. Lord, we're grateful, God. We received that word here tonight, Lord, and we want to give, God. God, we want to give, God, that we can stand on that word, my God. Bless those that are giving here tonight, Lord. God, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. We also want to announce that we have the swear. Amen. If you want to give with your card, amen, you're able to do that. Right there, you can see the sisters, amen, in the back, and they'll have their swear ready for you, amen. So let's give up to the Lord here tonight. Amen. We're having the third wave discipleship. Come on, somebody. It's going to be right there in Fort Worth Church. Amen. Right there at 7455 South Human Street in Fort Worth. Amen. Human Street in Fort Worth. So it's going to be at 10 a.m. It's free of charge. Amen. It's free of charge. So go ahead and make your way out there. God has a word for you tomorrow morning. Also, our Sunday morning celebration services. Our bilingual service starts at 9 a.m. and at 11 a.m. is our regular service, amen. So continue to invite our Spanish-speaking families, amen, to our 9 a.m. service. We also have, amen, a gang regional at 5:30 p.m. in East Dallas. So all the gang, make your way out there to the gang regional at 5 p.m. there in East Dallas. But we're having Life Flow here, amen. So let's continue to come to Life Flow. How many know we want our classes to count, amen? So come to Life Flow.
We want to continue to grow. Tuesday night is our live groups. Amen. Stay plugged in. Wednesdays our push service at 7 p.m. here at the church. Amen. We start at 7:30. And also Pastor Jesse. Come on, somebody. Pastor Jesse is coming in. Our regional pastor. Amen. Our grandfather in the faith. Amen. March 8th. So be prepared. Amen. He's going to be coming, investing, sowing a word into our lives. So he's going to be with us all Sunday. Amen. So be prepared. And how many are blessed here tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. For all the alumni, again, we're having a get-together right there in the green room. So everybody that's an alumni went to the UTC, we'll see you back there with Pastor Manny. Amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus, you are dismissed.